deep breath, deep breath, deep breath. I have been running all day. I'm exhausted. And I am here at the studio. This is my only peace of mind. This is my only joy. The only joy that I have throughout the week. Oh my God. So it's Tuesday and it is Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Like I say every week, this is my favorite time of the week. It is Tuesday and I get to play with you. So I'm really excited to be here. I'm always excited to be here. I'm always excited, period. So anyway, so what's been going on with me? So yesterday I had a acupuncture. I'm doing acupuncture. I'm going to do that for the next couple of weeks. So I'm trying that on. So I get on the table and I'm face down because I don't know what to do. You know, I'm face down and she said to me, I'm going to go out of the room and you're going to you take your clothes off and you're going to lay on the bed and you're going to put your head here. And what I heard was you're going to face down. So like my knickers were stuck in my bum, right? So this is really terrible and this is TMI, but I don't care. My knickers are stuck in my bum and I try to get it out and put a big hole in my drawers. I was like, oh God. I know, it's so terrible, but hey, what's, you know, I had to laugh at that, you know. So here I am laying face down with a big old hole in my drawers and she comes in and she's like, no, the other way, you're supposed to be facing up. I'm like, damn. It was a mess. Anyway, so I had that. And then today I went to PayPal. I'm so excited. I'm going to be doing an event at PayPal, which I'm really excited about. They're so generous. They gave me a space and pretty much said carte blanche. You can do what you want. But, you know, I have to be mindful. And I just had a nosebleed. Rushing. And I'm sweating and the palsies are killing me. But anyway, good news. We have a great show tonight for you, and it's about real estate. Real estate's kind of sexy in its own way.
It is.
I mean, it's kind of daunting. It's like, it's one of those things that everybody wants one. Everybody wants to have a piece of property, whether it's a little cottage somewhere or a tiny house like my friend wants. She wants a tiny house, which is 300 square feet. Or you might want that penthouse or a brownstone or just a co-op apartment, just something to call your own. It is the American dream, right? I think it's the American dream. And I don't know why it's an American dream, because living in other countries, it's just an automatic. It's just what you do. You get a house, you live there, and that's it. But in America, to own a house, it's a dream, right? And yeah, some people, it remains a dream, and some people, it becomes a reality. So tonight, I have on the show Mr. Carson Alexander, who is, not only is he really good looking, and I've got stories to tell you about one of the people they... I have stories to tell you about one of the people he sold a house for, and
and we have also, an hour. We'll get to it.
We'll get to that. That's the juicy bits. And also, he is in the top 1% of 170 realtors.
Thousand.
170,000 realtors worldwide for Keller Williams. So that's pretty good. So tonight, I feel like I need a clapping track, you know? Yay! Yay from the Peanut Gallery. So Carson, you have the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got to New York, because you're originally from Texas, right?
I'm originally from Texas. I graduated, and this is the first, you know, I came up right after that summer was over. I want to live in New York City ever since I was in middle school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So when did you come to New York?
2008, when the real estate market was hot.
Were you in real estate then?
I wasn't. I got in 2009.
You did? Oh, not too bad.
Yeah.
So it must have been boiling.
No, it was. Everyone was renting. I'll tell you that much.
Uh-huh.
So I cut my teeth doing rentals. And then slowly moved into sales and yada yada. Here I am.
So before you came to New York City and you became this one percenter.
Mm-hmm.
You're a one percenter, right? Of like top realtors. I want to say in the country. It's in, pretty much in the country, right? It's in the world. So it's a part of this country too. What did you do before that? What were some of the jobs that you did before
so
that?
So many.
Tell us.
My first job in Texas was working at a full service gas station where they come out and pump your gas.
Uh-huh.
Then worked in restaurants a lot.
Uh-huh.
a lot of restaurants, got to New York, did some more restaurants, uh-huh. was a doorman of uh-huh. a bar, then I was a bartender.
You were a doorman at a bar, like a bouncer?
Yes.
Really?
I know. It didn't really work. They quickly moved me inside. I wasn't deterring anybody.
Nah, you guys can see him, right? I mean, yeah. Come on, bouncer.
Not really.
You're not the kind of bruiser-ish.
I'm not.
You must have been really nice to people.
Unfortunately, for some people, I was. Oh, I was. For the bar owner.
Did you have a mean streak? Did you, like, you have to, like, G yourself up to get mean?
I try to act like it, uh-huh. you know, and then your adrenaline gets pumping. Like, I've had to throw people out once. Uh-huh. And it was over very quick, and I was like, I'm not really made for this. This is not in my wheelhouse at all.
No, yeah. Definitely not. Yeah. So they moved you inside. So what else did you do?
Then I was the manager of that bar uh-huh. later.
I could see that.
And then I also had a brief stint in security at the Hearst building.
Security. Tell me a little bit about that.
It was insane. The security world, the uh-huh. building security world is very strange. But I did that. That's basically standing at checkpoints and making sure that everyone's safe. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's not very scary either.
And it's boring, though, I imagine.
Very, very boring. A lot of book reading, a lot of note-taking about all the crazy people that I would meet, because uh-huh. I wanted to write about it later. Uh-huh. A lot of characters in there, a lot of different folks, a lot of great people, a lot of strange people. Uh-huh. And it was for all the fashion magazines.
Okay.
So all the people that worked in that world as well. It was uh-huh. very interesting. So I learned a lot from that as well. And then real estate.
And then you came into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell me, people want to know a little bit about, let's give them some background, some juicy stuff. Are you married?
I am married.
I know you're married, but they don't.
Yes.
So how long have you been married?
I have been married for 2 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
And your wife is also a realtor.
Yes.
You're a team.
We work together. One of those trendy husband and wife teams.
And what's that like? What's that like working with your wife all day and then coming home to her?
It's actually, it works for us. Uh-huh. It's not without its challenges, not going to lie. But it's actually pretty good. We like being around each other.
Oh, good.
A lot.
So is that something that you would recommend to people if they were looking to?
I think it really depends. Like at my company, one of the things that I love is they offer a lot of training.
Uh-huh.
And one of the trainings they offer is how to hire people. Uh-huh. And that's like it's a 5 interview process.
Right.
It's a lot of background with them. It's a personality profile to start with. It's a lot of trying to find out what's their highest and best use as a person. Mm-hmm. And if that happens to align with the role that you have available, then awesome. And if it doesn't, then you're supposed to sort of help them try and find their way somewhere else.
Right. Somewhere else within the company?
Or outside the company even, you know? So I did 5 interviews with my wife
to make sure.
We wanted to make sure. We wanted to make sure, you know, we knew that this was a decision not to be taken lightly. Uh-huh. And part of that process is asking other people for their opinion on the candidate, as mm-hmm. how they refer to it in the manual. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to me. I would ask a lot of people in the real estate industry that I would meet all over the country what they thought about this. And all the people who said that's a terrible idea right out of the gate were all middle-aged men.
Oh, really?
It's very interesting. So
old school.
I noticed that pattern and it sort of, you know, I didn't take it with a grain of salt, but I just said, okay, that's an interesting pattern mm-hmm. there. And kept the interviews going, and it seemed like the right fit, and we've been doing it for coming up on 2 years in September.
Nice. So how long have you been in real estate since 2009? So what's that, like 11 years or something?
9 years.
My math is terrible. Yeah. It's like 2 years, isn't it? My math is terrible. So
it's gonna be 9 years in November.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. It's been interesting.
And is Keller the only person that you've ever worked, company you ever worked with?
No, I started with Rapid Realty.
Remember them. Are they still around?
I think they are.
I remember them vaguely, Rapid Realty.
Their thing at the time when I was with them was the no-fee rental. That was their big thing. That was what they did very well. And then I went to Douglas Elliman.
Uh-huh.
And then the team I was on at Douglas Elliman left and joined Keller Williams mm-hmm. about 6 years ago. And then I sort of amicably parted from that team in 2014 and started my own thing at KW. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I know you love real estate. Am I right to say that?
I like it a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm grateful that I like as much as I do. Uh-huh. I would say, yeah. There are some days I like it a lot. There are some days that are tough. You know, it's a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, it is a roller coaster.
But I'm grateful ride. For how much I do actually enjoy it.
And so, what would you say to somebody who is thinking of going into a real estate career? What would you say one of the characteristics or skills that would help them to be successful?
I think persistence mm-hmm. and sort of grit. Mm-hmm. If I could say that, I think that one thing that's very false is this idea of the $1 million listing, right. The TV show, that it's handshakes, that you meet in person, and it's I want it for $5 million. How about $7 million? How about we meet in the middle at $6 million? Deal. Right. Shake hands. Right. Done. Unfortunately, that's very not true.
That's made for TV.
Yeah, totally. It's slow. It's laborious. It's intricate at sometimes, mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, handshakes and big checks all day.
Right.
So I think that, and the other idea that I think is semi-false is the flexibility. I think a lot of people get into it because they're like, it's flexible. I can make my own hours. But if you want a consistent income, I think you have to really look at, am I willing to work, you know, 6-7 days a week for mm-hmm. 12 to 13 hours for the first year or two mm-hmm. even, you know? And that's what I did to try and get my business going. And I think that that's important for people to consider. I think it's somewhere around 60% of new licensees do not renew their real estate license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I was a realtor. I got into it into the 90s, and it is not, just like you said, it's not all handshakes and big checks. It's like slogging your guts out.
Oh, yeah.
It's like pounding the payments.
Yeah.
And I one of the things that I think is really important as a realtor is integrity,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, being honest. I also think that having a personality and being patient
mm-hmm.
with people and being able to create structures, because if you can't create a structure, then you're not going to, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I think that it is. I think it being a business owner, period, being an independent contractor,
mm-hmm.
I think that you benefit from having a physical and mental and spiritual sort of diet for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then that allows you to run a more consistent, strong business.
Right. I completely agree with that. And the love of people, even crazy people.
It's important.
And being open where you're not judging like people. I remember working in an office and there would be all kinds of people coming in, you know, people that didn't fit the idea of somebody that is looking to buy
mm-hmm.
a place. And it would be like, so for instance, a guy would walk in and he'd look a little bit disheveled. Like a raggy sweater or, mm-hmm. you know, and my coworkers would be like, I'm not talking to him. And they'd be like, Noreen, you talk to him because you talk to everybody. And that's the guy that has the money.
That's the guy that can buy and sell you yeah, 10 times over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the guy that would have the money. And that's the guy that you'd create deals with and make things happen. But it's never judge a person by the...
By the cover.
Exactly.
I suppose. So,
or their raggedy jeans or sweater. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everyone. So this is Noreen Sumter with Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I have Carson Alexander from Keller Williams. He is a one percenter. And he is on the show tonight, and he's going to tell you everything you need to know about buying real estate. And we're going to have some fun with that.
Yes, we are.
Go ahead. So, give a shout out to your people.
What's up, people on Facebook Live? Thanks for
Buca
watching.
Buca de Beppo.
Buca de Beppo.
Oh, Buca it's de Beppo.
A chain restaurant I used to work at in Dallas, Texas. Great food, family style. Very much a chain restaurant.
Is it like everything's big in Texas, like they say? Was it like big meat and big pasta?
It's kind of true. It's kind of true. It's a little bit gross.
I think I want to throw up.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So anyway, tell me, like, I'm a person and I want to buy an apartment, right? And so I wake up one morning and I go, oh, I want to buy an apartment. What's my next step?
I think you need to educate yourself mm-hmm. a little bit, if you can, about what you're looking for. And a great way to do that is just get online. Start looking around what speaks to you, what excites you. I think number one is talking to a fantastic mortgage broker, like our friend Jane. So you can find out how much house can you afford.
Okay.
That's going to give you some parameters on what you should be looking at and things like that. And I think that obviously the next step is connecting with a real estate agent.
Okay. So I've done that. I've spoken to Jane. I've got a mortgage. You know, I've got
a pre-approval.
I've got a pre-approval, which actually really doesn't mean anything. It just means that I got some money and I can buy something. All right. So what's my next step? I'm going to come to the real estate agency. Is it better to have a referral? Or is it, can I just walk into your office and say?
You can meet agents. I mean, man, there are agents everywhere. I think there are like 40,000 agents in New York City. It's insane. So you can meet
trip
them
over.
Everywhere. You will trip over them. You've bumped into them many times while you're on the subway. So there either can be a referral from your mortgage broker, or a referral from a friend or a family member. You can meet them going to an open house. Mm-hmm. They could have the listing, or they could be hosting the open house and they can talk to you. And I think it's important to find somebody that you can trust, that you can get feeling from, because as you mentioned before, integrity is a really big deal. And there are a lot of agents out there who sometimes will choose a slightly less better option for their client over getting a quick buck or turning the deal faster. And I think someone who's going to do the right thing while no one's watching is an important thing to find. Someone who's going to speak straight to you.
Right.
Someone who isn't desperate for commission.
Right.
Who has a consistent.
You can smell
business.
Those people, though.
You can, unfortunately. Someone who isn't overbearing, who's going to hold you over a barrel and say, this is the apartment for you.
Right.
You know, it's not up to them. It's up to you. They're your consultant. They're sort of your advisor.
Right.
And I think that finding someone that you feel comfortable with, that's responsive to you, that you can start to trust is a big deal.
Right. I remember, my belief is that there is an apartment for every single person, or a home for every single person out there. And yes, it might sound odd, but my mission statement when I was a realtor was everybody should have a home that they love and they feel comfortable, because once they go home, you want them to replenish and nourish themselves so they can go back out into the world. And that was one of the things that I stood for. And I felt that everybody has an apartment that is theirs. I mean, I truly believe that. They can walk into an apartment and go, oh, my God, this is it.
Yeah.
And it is it.
Absolutely.
You know, I've seen that many times, and I'm sure you've seen it many times.
Yeah, if you think about how you've made any big purchase, it's something in your gut. You're like, this is the right one for me.
Right.
It could be even buying a car. It's the same similar thing of, like, this thing speaks to me. I think certainly when you're buying in the residential market, like when I rented my apartment, I was like, I can see myself cooking in this kitchen. I can see my wife and I having breakfast here.
Right.
Like, it's something that happens in your gut.
Right.
And it's not going to be your dream apartment, unfortunately. But hopefully it's really, really close.
And why did you say that? It's not going to be your dream apartment.
So, quick story. I was working with some buyers, wonderful, wonderful people. And they had a really, really healthy budget. They're about $2.5 million. And they're looking for a townhouse.
Right.
And they're very sensible, very down to earth. But they have really great taste.
Right.
And so one of them was like, I love everything in the 5 million range, but I know I can't afford it.
Right.
But I know that if I had 5 million, I'd love everything in the 7 million range,
right,
but I can't afford it. So it's stuff that's just sort of, I think that we can romanticize and we can idealize about there is this perfect property.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important when you're meeting with your buyer's agent to say, all right, these are my needs and these are my wants. Right. Any good buyer's agent will sit down and have that conversation with you. Let's get as many of your needs as we can, and let's check off a few of your wants in the process.
Right.
And as we continue going and seeing more and more property, you're going to learn more and more about what speaks to you and what doesn't. And this needs and wants list can totally change. It's not written in stone. We can throw it in the trash and start over tomorrow if you want. But we need a compass to get started.
And have you found that so somebody has their needs and their wants, and then they go and see something and it's completely nothing like what they ever wanted, but it's the perfect thing for them. Have you experienced that?
I've had somebody who was like, I want to buy in Murray Hill. He said, quote, I'm a Murray Hill guy. And I didn't know what that meant, but I was like, yeah, totally. You're totally a Murray Hill guy.
Whatever the auto.
And he ended up buying in Park Slope.
Oh, so Murray Hill went out the door. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's exactly how it goes. You walk into a space. My experience is you walk into a space with clients. I always used to say, I'm not selling you anything. I'm just showing you.
Mm.
And you're actually buying it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, cool. I say the similar thing. People are like, what's the square footage in here? I'm like, you're not really buying square footage. You're buying the experience, how you feel when you're in the property.
Absolutely.
Because I think there are a lot of people, no one wants to pay too much.
Right.
Everyone wants to get a good deal. Right. No one wants to get taken advantage of. So let's make sure that we honor those and set those aside, and then let's talk about what speaks to you.
Where are, you know, like everything is costly now, right?
Yeah.
Things are, you know, from when I was selling real estate, I think the last piece of property I sold was on Claremont between DeKalb and Lafayette, and I sold it for 1.3.
Mm.
Where is the market today on that?
Well,
2.5. Yeah, we did that right.
The median price is in Brooklyn is just under $1 million. It's the median, though. So it ranges.
And what did they get for a median price?
A couple bedrooms.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends. Co-ops, condos. Co-ops are cheaper than condos.
Mm-hmm.
12 to 14% cheaper. If you have two properties that are identical and one happens to be condo, one's co-op, the co-op's going to be cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're looking in, you know, for a quote unquote deal, I think you want to go into what are, you know, lovingly referred to as the fringe neighborhoods.
Right.
The neighborhood next to the prime neighborhood.
Right.
And as long as you buy along the train line,
mm-hmm.
and as long as the housing stock, meaning the property that's available to buy in that neighborhood is desirable, you know, stone, masonry houses, brownstone brick, nice co-ops, nice condos.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna catch. It's gonna appreciate. It's gonna follow the train lines, and I think that that's a really good rule of thumb.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. What you just said is follow the train line. And when I first came to America, I always wanted to live on the train line. I always wanted to live close to the A line.
Mm-hmm.
That was really important to me, but I didn't realize it was a thing, like to follow the train line. But that makes absolute sense.
Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. There's Red Hook, which has no trains. And it's extreme. It's getting extremely
expensive. What kind of people, what kind of people go to Red Hook?
Because there are people who enjoy the part that the fact that it is a little bit secluded.
Mm-hmm.
I think they enjoy the walking around, the different commuting style. I think that they're open to that.
Right.
And they don't mind being off the beaten path.
Right.
And it turns out there's a decent demand for that.
Okay. I used to call them the Mavericks, the people that are going to come into a community and just like shift it and change it and make it better than what it was. And when the Mavericks came, and I used to say that for me, what I saw when I was in real estate was that the gay guys came, the gay people came. No, I'm serious. The gay men came. Then they did all what they did in the neighborhood, made it really lovely, made it, took care of it, built it up. Then the Mavericks came, right? They're the ones that had the kind of fringe shops and a little bit different. And then your yuppies came.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they still say that anymore. Do they still say yuppies?
They do.
They do? Oh, I didn't know that, right? Because I haven't heard it in a while. Then the yuppies came. When the yuppies came, that's when all hell broke loose. Because then everybody, they add to it, they bring the prices up, and then they bring everybody else in, and all those people that came prior to are now have to leave because things have gotten ridiculous. And
it's a really touchy issue.
Yeah.
And I come up against it a lot in Brooklyn. And I think that there are unfortunately winners and losers in every sort of real estate market.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's beyond, I'm not really qualified to speak on it because I'm a recent transplant.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't tell you, but I can tell you what it feels like to go to Austin, where I'm from, and see that it is nothing like it was when I grew up there,
right,
it doesn't feel good. So I can relate to that, you know. Right. But I think it's a really nuanced issue, and it's very complicated. And I think that real estate is an unfortunate sort of poster child.
I think it's always like that. Yeah. I mean, because if I go home now, if I go home now to my community, Broccoli, I mean, the house that we grew up in, I think my father paid like £30,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, well, I don't know, ridiculous. Like, it's a ridiculous price. When my mother sold it, I think she sold it for six and change. And then it went for like $1 million and change. And it's just been going up and up ever since, you know. And though it's still the same houses on the same block or the same street, we didn't blocks, same street, is just things have moved in prices and different people have come into the neighborhood. But I think that real estate is like that, though.
It is. It's an agent of change, yeah, period. It's based on change.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think New York City itself is a city that repeatedly sort of cannibalizes itself and tears down and builds up new, mm-hmm, and then rinse and repeat all the time.
Yeah,
since
all the
beginning
time of New York City.
Of New York City. There's a quote, I was watching a documentary about New York from the 1800s,
uh-huh,
from a guy who said, anyone who grew up here and hasn't been here for 10 years would hardly recognize this place.
Absolutely.
And that was from the mid 1800s.
Mm-hmm. And I can actually speak to that going into certain areas, and not even like Prospect Heights in, mm-hmm, my, you know, neighborhood, not being over there for quite some time. And I go over and I go, oh my God. Like, so many new buildings. I mean, if you just look at the skyline of Brooklyn itself, the skyline is completely shifted. Going across Manhattan Bridge, where there used to be some rickety brownstones, there's a whole lot. We have hotels and all kinds of. So it's true. If you haven't been there in 10 years, you wouldn't really recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great, though. I think it's always good to have change. I mean, we have so many properties. We have so many expensive properties. What about what's going on with the people that are in the low to moderate income? What's going on with that?
There's absolutely a place for them. There's a market for them, and there always will be, which, mm-hmm, is a good thing for those people, because they're not going to be buying into something that's going to be forgotten or not desirable,
right,
by the next first-time homebuyer.
Right.
So that always exists. It's not subject to the whims of seasonality. It's going,
right,
to be a hot market in December and January and February. It's going to be hot in August. Those places exist, I would say, off the top of my head, from a very general comment, mm-hmm, is it's going to be co-ops.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with co-ops.
No,
I think they're really great. And I think they're amazing for first-time buyers. They're a great value.
Right.
And it's going to get their foot in the door in terms of building equity.
Right.
Because if they buy along that train line and then they sit in it for 5 or 6 years,
right,
it's going to appreciate. They're going to sell it. It's going to be their down payment on their next bigger place.
Right.
And that's how homeownership is supposed to work.
Okay, awesome. So when we come back, I want you to explain about like co-ops and condos, because a lot of people still don't really understand that concept. So I want you to sort of explain the differences.
We'll
okay?
do.
So we'll be right back in 2 Flicks of Money.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I am with Carson Alexander, who is from Keller Williams, a real estate company, if you have not heard of them. Okay, so I want to know, and I'm sure the listeners want to know, the difference between a co-op and a condo. And then I also want to know, when did condos come into, do you know when condos came into play? Because there weren't too many in New York at the beginning.
Condos came into play, I think, through each successive seller's market cycle. Because mm-hmm. like if you look at, like we talked about before, the new skyline of Brooklyn, mm-hmm. those are condos.
Right.
Condos are the new developer product. Right. That's what they bring to market. They don't bring co-ops to market. Condos right. are the most lucrative. And because as land prices continue to skyrocket and their construction costs and their construction loans, the interest rates on those are going up as well, mm-hmm. they have to build more and more luxury products mm-hmm. to offset their costs and make the profit that they need. So they kind of brought condos more into popularity, I think, in New York City. Co-ops, they came on in the 80s.
Right.
Big time. Rental buildings being converted into co-ops. Co-ops are great for you if you are not planning on, like if you're someone who has a job and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be here next year, I'm going to travel for my job and be gone 8 months of the year occasionally, or I might have an assignment over here. Co-op may not be for you.
Co-op is not for you.
Yeah, they're not very interested in subletting.
Right.
For good reason for them. Alternatively, condo, that's where it's at. You can sublet that thing very easily. For a minimum and a maximum term of 12 months. People think that Airbnb is fully legal, that the hotel lobby shut that down.
Right.
You know, yes. Big time. Yeah. So that's one difference for them. The ownership style of a condo is more total, meaning that you rent it out to someone, you don't have to go through the board
right.
like you do at a co-op.
Right.
You also have title. You hold title mm-hmm. in a condo. In a co-op, you hold shares in a cooperative. So you have title insurance for a condo unit. You don't have title insurance for a co-op unit, right. which is one of the reasons that for a first-time home buyer, your closing cost bill can almost be a third of what it'd be for a condo.
Right.
So you also don't have mortgage recording tax at closing when you have a co-op,
right.
as you do with a condo. So when you go for a co-op, you're going to have a board interview.
Right.
And you're going to have to submit tons of paper about
yourself. You don't have to do that for a condo, right?
You have to submit your tax returns
right.
and like a contract of sale.
Right.
And the board looks at it. And the only way the board can tell you no is if they make an offer on that unit themselves.
Right.
So they give you that right of first refusal mm-hmm. waiver and they say you're approved. So it's really a formality on the condo side. As long as you got your loan or if you're doing cash, it doesn't right. matter. But for a co-op, you hand them like 2 phone books worth of your mm-hmm. life in paper. It's tax returns, the full tax return,
right.
signed. They want to see every line item.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see personal reference letters.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see professional reference letters. They want to know if you're a member of any social groups. Do you know, they want to know if you're going to be a team player
right.
when you come into the co-op building. Are you going to devote your time to working on the co-op board, which is another full-time job.
Right. It is a full-time job. I'm just so lucky because I got called a couple of weeks ago, Noreen, will you sit on the board because we need you? And I was like, I said, only if you absolutely must have me. And then this other guy, he's not very social in the building, he stepped up. And I was there, there was a vote, so it's between him and I, and I'm like writing all the votes and all the people that gave me their proxies, I'm like signing him into. But he finally got it, because I just couldn't take that on. It is a full-time job.
Big time.
I mean, it's beneficial, mm-hmm. but it is a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. And it's often thankless, unfortunately.
It is
thankless. Because people don't know how much work you're doing unless they sit on it themselves.
No, you have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything in a co-op has to be brought through the co-op.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you want a garden, co-op. You want to get, like, you know, I'm fortunate I live in a very good co-op whereby we create a garden out of our concrete backyard. And this girl, she just really made it beautiful. And we have chairs and stuff and beautiful chairs and suites and out there. We have, like, 3 suites. We have an umbrella. We have a gas grill and all that.
That's amazing. I mean, we had to add so much value to your building because they decided to do that.
We did all that. Yeah. I had to fight for the grill, though, because I wanted a grill and they were like, no. So I bought one of those little cheesy ones. And I said, oh, everybody can use it. It's like this big. And then finally they settled and said, all right, let's get a proper grill because it brings, you know, community. And you know, we do jazz events once a year.
That's awesome.
It's really nice. I am very blessed to live in that. So tell me, what are some of the things that people can't do I mean, because I remember back in the day, there wasn't a lot of there wasn't all this stringent stuff you had to go through with buying a house. Now there's, just because there was so much drug money around in the 80s and the 90s and stuff, and it's completely different now. So what are some of the things that people have to bring to the table when they're trying to buy a piece of property? What do they have to show?
Really the biggest thing is they have to be comfortable. And one of my mentors says this, Michael Shapit, who's a great broker, says you have to be comfortable showing your financial underwear.
Yes.
You know, to strangers.
Right.
Right off the bat. When you have a great buyer's agent, they're going to ask you to do a financial statement that's going to list all the cash and all the debt that you have. And that's so that when they make an offer for you, that the seller's agent knows this is a qualified buyer. They're going to have no problem getting a mortgage. They're going to have no problem passing the board.
Right.
And that's a really important piece. And if I understand people who feel hesitant to do that, but it's a very crucial part. I think it's one of the biggest things that people have to sort of wrap their minds around is being like, yeah, I'm going to show them what?
Yeah. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to expose themselves. Nobody wants people to know how much money they make or how much money they have or how much debt they have. Mm-hmm. But so what is the fastest selling things on the market today? Is it more houses? People selling more houses, or is it like more of these blocks that are going up?
So the bigger buildings, it's all about price point. So the $2 to $5 million market, the residential market is slower than the $1 to $2 million market, and the up to $1 million market is quick. I should say when everything's priced right.
Right.
But it's about supply and demand. It's about the amount of buyers you actually have at that price point. You know, 5 to 10 is even slower. And the higher you go up in price point, the more those markets are subject to some sort of seasonality, meaning August, right?
August is a good month.
I learned that August is when a lot of New Yorkers leave town.
Right.
Right. So your high net worth individuals for the $5 to $10 million range, they're probably not going to be house hunting in August.
Right.
Alternatively, the family that has two kids that are in school, they're going to start looking right around now.
Right.
Because they want to get it locked in by the time the school year is over. They want to move their kid during the summer. They don't want to disrupt them in school. So really, it depends, but things are taking longer to sell than they used to. There's more inventory than there used to be, and there's a ton of new development inventory.
Right. So my question is, what is going to happen to all of that inventory that's out there? Do we really have enough people to fill all those blocks that are going up in Manhattan as well as Brooklyn, well as through the state?
I think we have enough people. It's like, do we have enough people that are going to pay that much money?
So what's going to happen with that? Because I remember when I first came to the country, I bought a place 3 years after settling here. And it was like, they were asking 120. The market had just gone crazy. It was terrible. And I was able to negotiate down. I didn't use a realtor. I didn't know about those people, right? I didn't use a realtor. I did it myself. They were asking 120 because that's what they were asking at the time. They were asking much more, but it didn't work. So they were asking 120. I actually called every single week, every single week on a particular day for 6 months.
Yeah.
And I got it for $95,000. And then they paid my maintenance for a year and they paid all my closing costs because it was a condo.
Yep.
Right. So I don't know if that's going to, it's a whole different world now, right?
Totally dissimilar to that, though. These big buildings that are new condo developments, they're offering big concessions, which is what those are called.
Right.
Your closing costs, your maintenance. I was able to get my buyers 6 months real estate taxes paid, a free storage unit.
Oh, they don't have that. Was it not assessment? They have, when I bought my place, the building had a 20-year something where you didn't
abatement?
Have to pay. Yeah, abatements.
Some buildings don't have abatements. Some of them don't. Most of them do. This one didn't. So we were able to negotiate that into, there's a city and state transfer tax that you have to pay in a new development, which it's customary for the buyer to pay, but it's up for negotiation, especially when it's been sitting on the market. And you have no idea how much inventory is actually existing because they have 50 units. They're going to put 10 on the market. They're going to put 5 on the market. There's 40 units just sitting empty.
So what are
it's
you
shadow
do with that?
Inventory. It's supply and demand. They're gonna have to. They have to make their loan payments as developers on their construction loans, and push is gonna come to shove, and something's gonna force their hand or not, or the right buyer's gonna come, and it's gonna get absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
but it's just going to skew all of the market statistics, because you're going to have a lot of these new development closings will go into contract and they won't close for 8 months,
right?
10 months, because they're trying to get a certificate of occupancy from the city. So it just, it's similar in some ways to pre-2008. There's a lot of new development.
Well, as long as it doesn't go to like how it was in the late 80s and 90s, because that was really rough. And what happened was that a lot of developers turned their apartments, turned them into rentals.
Yep.
Big time. Know, I mean, is there enough people to rent these apartments?
I don't know. I mean, there's several big rental buildings in Williamsburg, and they're huge, and they're all next to each other, and it's like a ghost town over there.
Ooh.
And it's a smart play for a lot of developers to start rental, because they can convert to condo later down the road. So they sort of are hedging their bets. Because when you break ground, from the time you break ground as a developer, from the time you close on that development site till the time that you're listing something for sale, it could be a whole market cycle. You don't know.
I know, right? So it would behoove people, just based upon what you just said to me in terms of, you know, you can get these concessions and you can negotiate, to have a realtor that is a really good negotiator, which I know that you are. And then also a realtor that is confident, that's confident, competent, and can, and just knows their work backward and forwards. Now I see why you're in the 1%. So what would you say to somebody who says, oh, I can do this by myself? I wouldn't do it by myself today.
I'd say you probably can, but there are varying degrees of success. Right. And what is the highest and best use of your time?
Right.
Is it possible that a buyer's agent can come in and take a lot of it off your plate, whom, by the way, you do not pay?
Right.
A lot of people assume that as a buyer, they have to pay the buyer agent's commission. And there are very few instances where that's the case.
Right. Educate the listeners about that. Oh, 2 minutes?
The seller pays the commission.
Right. The seller pays the commission.
The seller agent sets what commission the seller pays, and the seller agent sets what split comes out to the buyer agent.
Right. And it has nothing to do with the person buying.
Nothing.
Right. So do you hear that? It's good to use a realtor, an educated realtor, a confident realtor, somebody is really good at negotiating, because there are a lot of hidden concessions in the realm of buying that as a layperson, you're not going to know what to expect. So it really is important for you to get yourself a realtor. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on the show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hello, and we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm with Carson Alexander from Keller Williams. And we're talking about real estate. we're talking about all the, you know, having a realtor, making sure that he is competent, making sure that they can negotiate for you. Fearless. You want a fearless realtor. But you also want one that's compassionate, mm-hmm. has empathy, can communicate, is not going to fly off the handle, and not going to have you at, look at you as, oh my God, this person is one step between me having a sandwich and having to eat like popcorn for dinner. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Because there are some realtors out there that
unfortunately.
Just, yeah, that are just not making it and they're just hungry.
They'll tell you what you want to hear mm-hmm. to get the business.
Tell you what you want to hear and it's not what you want. So nope.
You need someone too who's collaborative with the other agent mm-hmm. who doesn't sharpen their teeth in the morning like some brokers. You know, someone who plays nicely in the sandbox with mm-hmm. others. Because the people who are, I think, doing business are the same. A similar group of people for an extended period of time. So right. I see repeat people.
Absolutely.
Even if I didn't do a deal with them, I negotiated with them briefly, it didn't work out. You always want to keep things copacetic, nice. Cool, because yeah. I'm going to see them again.
Absolutely. And you never know when you're going to see them again. It could be something that, you know, you really want, your client really wants, and they're like, you're a bastard. Mm-hmm. I'm not working with you.
Understandable.
And then you're out of it. So play nice with people. And I'm reading How to Win Friends and Influence People. They always say smile, have manners, be respectful, you know. It's really important. I mean, that book is timeless and a lot of that information in it is still valid today. So you said that in Williamsburg there are a lot of available apartments in the $3,000 range. Now that sounds, I haven't rented an apartment in I don't know how long, but that sounds like, I can't believe that apartments I like the rent is that high in mm-hmm. Brooklyn, mm-hmm. where it used to be when I was a realtor, it was like $750, $1,500 was a duplex, right? Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. You could get a whole duplex for $1,500. $2,000 was like, whoa, really? Yeah. And there weren't many people, but like you said, there's someone for everything in this arena. So tell me, I just want to know about like the difficulties that you've experienced in your career. Building your career. What are some of the difficulties? Are they difficulties today?
Sure. There's some that still hold true. In the beginning, there was a fear of I don't know enough.
Right.
And then I realized I'm never going to know enough.
Right.
And the best way to do that is get out there and start working. And when someone asks me a question I don't know the answer to, I say, I don't know.
Exactly.
And I'll find out. I know who to ask. I'm going to get you the answer. What else can I find out for you? You know, there's nothing wrong with doing that. I think that one of my coaches said, like, the three most loving words that you can say are, I don't know.
Exactly. You know? I remember when I was a realtor, back in the 80s, 90s, well, 90s, it was really ugly. It was fierce and it was ugly. And the quality of, I would say the quality of the realtors that are out here today, most of them, a good portion of them look great. Mm-hmm. They're well put together. They're polished. Whereas back in the day, you know, have some realtors show up in sweatpants or just looking really funky. I don't know. What is it? Do you get the person like that today, or is it I have had
the occasional seller agent show up in a football jersey. Uh-huh. You know, it was Sunday. Uh-huh. So, you know, maybe he was on his way to watch the game and stopped off to open up the house. That's cool. But you will see some less professional practices in more emerging markets, mm-hmm. I would say. Ones that haven't been heavily trafficked.
Okay, so the emerging markets.
Sometimes people can get away with doing the bare minimum.
Right.
But there's not a lot going on.
Well, can I tell you, be honest, I did sell a house in my pajamas once.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
How it happened was I was working from home. It was a really cold day. And this woman calls up and she says, I want to see the house in 20 minutes. And I was like, oh my God. It was the thing was, I was working, the Cochrane was showing the house and I was showing the house. And Cochrane had 60 people. I had 7, mm-hmm. right? And I was like, oh, I'm never going to sell this house because they're bigger than me. And so she called. She goes, can I see the house in 20 minutes? And I was like, okay. So I had this coat, which was really long, down to my ankles. And I had my pajamas underneath. And I put the legs of my pajamas inside my boots and like fixed up myself and put some makeup on and got on my bike and cycled out. I sold the house, though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I always think of like, I sold a house in my pajamas. But, you know, I had a coat on. It wasn't like summer.
I think it's great. I'm a fan. If I could sell houses in my pajamas, I would do it. Believe me.
So, speaking of pajamas, I want to know, what is the future of real estate? With all this AI, artificial intelligence, with all the internet, with all the, you know, the bits and pieces that are going on, you know, what's the future of for brokers?
Well, there's a lot of people who are, I'm not going to lie, the chatter within the industry is very manic. There are a lot of people who are like, Zillow's trying to replace us. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who are, no one's going to replace us. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, it runs the gamut. Right. I think that the softer the market gets, meaning the less it's a seller's market, the more it becomes a skill market. Mm-hmm. And you
say
you,
more about the skill market.
Well, skill market meaning that someone who knows what they're doing right. is going to have an easier time finding leads when leads are more scarce.
Right.
Sort of summing it up that way. And I think technology, I haven't seen a piece of technology that can completely replace a broker yet. Right. I'm not saying that it can't happen.
Right.
But I think that, you know, Zillow has a program called Instant Offers that they're rolling out in a few markets, which allows people to just confront homeowners directly and mm-hmm. say, I have an offer for your house, take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. And that cuts out brokers.
Right.
Right. So there's a lot of nerves around
that. So who gets the
that.
Money? Does Zillow, the organization?
Zillow probably takes a very small piece. Mm-hmm. And then the buyer and seller keep more. But I think that, like, you have to know what you're doing, and you're dealing with one of the most expensive transactions that you're going to experience in your lifetime. And there are people out there who are comfortable doing it on their own, and yeah. I'm not interested in stepping in those cases. I think that there have been billions of dollars invested in real estate search technology,
right.
trying to make the search more seamless, more efficient, right. and it hasn't done a thing. It takes the same amount of time for buyers to find property as it used to.
Right.
So there's a big fight in the real estate industry now over data and where the broker's data goes because of companies like Zillow who syndicate and publish our listings online. Mm-hmm. They essentially are taking our data.
Right.
And then they're selling ad space to other agents underneath our listing.
Right.
And people are contacting them thinking they're contacting us
oh,
to
so
see
it's
the
tricky.
House. So, but I'll tell you the truth, the consumer is too smart for that.
Right.
In many cases, they're like, who are you? Are you the seller agent? No, I'm not. Okay, I want to talk to the seller agent. And then
right.
that phone call usually comes to an end.
Right.
I think that New York City real estate is different than almost every other state in the U.S. in terms of how it's practiced.
Mm-hmm.
And there are intricacies involved here
mm-hmm.
that are not really easy for a tech firm to copy and paste
right.
somewhere else.
Right.
So I think that agents should wrap their arms around tech and get very familiar with it and become friends with it
mm-hmm.
And incorporate it into their business because it's going to become a part of our lives.
Right.
If I would rather have something dropped off at my door than go to a store.
Right.
I just
right.
would. And I think everyone else does.
Right.
So what can you do about your real estate business to act like an Amazon?
Right.
You know, and that's the question that I think people should be
but
asking
But I still,
themselves.
At the end of the day, I'm still seeing that we're going to need brokers to go into the house with the person to look around the house. Because as you already know, when you take a picture of an apartment that looks on the HD or whatever,
oh, yeah.
the technology, it looks wonderful.
Yeah.
And then you go there and you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, the carpet's not as clean as it looks on the, you know, doctored web or maybe, you know, the staging is, you know, take the staging out, it's a whole nother game,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think that it's really important to have a broker.
I think if as long as humans are selling to humans,
mm-hmm.
a human will be helpful
yeah.
in that transaction. If robots start selling to robots, then I'm out. I don't think I could help them. I don't think
well,
they'd want me.
Honey, I was at an AI event this afternoon, and they were talking about the different things that robots are actually doing now. And it was like they want robots to talk. They're talking to each other. They're
oh,
yeah. actually creating. It was just like a whole nother world that they were talking about. So anyway, we've almost come to the end of our show. I don't know how it was for you, but it was great for me. I think
wow.
I'll have a cigarette.
Thank you.
So tell me, anything you want to promote, anything that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I'm always happy to have a conversation. I think
mm-hmm.
some of the most meaningful things in anyone's lives have started with a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that has to do with real estate. If it does, I'm happy to talk to you.
So give your information.
My number is 646-737-9643.
Mm-hmm.
And my email is calexander@kwnyc.com. A lot of people have questions. They're thinking about doing something. They don't know if they should. I'm happy to talk about it.
Have a conversation. Yeah.
Let's have a conversation.
Absolutely. So I don't know about you guys, but I had a fantastic time talking real estate with Carson and just thinking about the good old days. I honestly would not want to be a realtor today. I loved it when I loved it. I used to call it the cocktail party without the cocktail. But I wouldn't, it's not a game I want to play today. But I commend you for doing it. Somebody's got to do it, and you do it very well.
Thank you.
And Miss Cuffy, the sale that you did that I referred you to, she had the hots for him. Every time he'd go over, she'd be so excited. And she goes, Noreen, ooh, that Carson.
She's very sweet. She's very sweet. I'm glad I was able to help her out.
I'm glad you did. You were the perfect realtor for her. So on that note, we're going to bid you all a good night and see you again next week on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Have a fantastic weekend and talk soon. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.